Tina Turner, the best here at BBC Radio Oxford. Nearly 9 minutes past two. Let's have a chat in just a moment to an experienced screen and theatre actor. He's now turned his hand, well, to a different branch of show business. Morgan James has just recorded a new album. We'll chat to Morgan in just a moment. But from that first musical offering, here is Perhaps Love.
Perhaps love is like a resting place, a shelter from the storm. It exists to give you comfort, it is there to keep you warm. And in those times of trouble, when you are most alone, the memory of love will bring you home. Perhaps love is like a window, perhaps an open door. It invites you to come closer, it wants to show you more. And even if you lose yourself and don't know what to do, the memory of love will see you through. Oh, love to some is like a cloud, to some as strong as steel. For some, a way of living, for some, a way to feel. And some say love is holding on, and some say letting go. Some say love is everything, some say they don't know. Perhaps love is like the ocean, full of conflict, full of pain. Like a fire when it's cold outside, thunder when it rains. If I should live forever and all my dreams come true, my memory of love will be of you. When it's cold outside, thunder when it rains. If I should live forever and all my dreams come true, my memories of love will be.
It's called Here and Now, and that's Perhaps Love from Morgan James. I'd like to say Morgan joins me now. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Nick. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm just looking. You are an established actor, right? Both on stage and on screen. Is this the step on the quest for world domination, this singing lark?
Yeah, I want to take over the world now through singing. It's something I'm not new to it, but it's something that I suppose I've worked with for quite a while and launched myself finally to go, okay, this is what I love doing, and it's a departure certainly from
because singing on stage as part of a theatre company and the like is actually so different when you're out there on your own, kind of in a recording studio.
Yeah, I think that's what, to be honest, what used to get in the way for me as a singer was I used to get terrible stage fright. Never as an actor, but there's a vulnerability when you sing, which is also what people love. I think that's certainly what I love to listen to when I listen to singers. And so it was overcoming that, and when I finally was performing as a singer, yes, it's a very different approach to being in the recording studio, which I love actually. I do love recording, I must say.
That has confused me.
Right.
That you find it harder to sing in front of people than to actually, you know.
Not harder. I just used to get far more. I used to get stage fright, I think, because when you sing, you're you're putting very much a part of you out there. It's your voice, it's your interpretation, it's how you feel about someone. When you act, you do have that character that you can slightly hide behind somebody else's words. That used to kind of get in the way. I think I used to overthink it a little bit, Nick, actually. Just get up and do it is the thing to do. But I used to overthink it. And that's when I started to record, it was lovely because you could do it and it didn't matter if it went wrong. You could do it again and you could play with it. And once it's set, it's there then as well. Yeah. You hopefully have got something that you're happy with and that lasts. So
being on stage with the Royal Shakespeare Company was a breeze then, was it, Morgan?
It wasn't a breeze. It was highly enjoyable, I have to say. It was a lifelong ambition. I loved it. Was it a breeze? It was hard work. I really enjoyed that. And I worked with some fantastic people there. So that was fun. And I actually sang there. And that was great because we incorporated music, as they often do with classical pieces of work. So I'd be the loudest voice in the singing part, bringing up the rear when the others were struggling after about eight performances. So it always helps sometimes.
It's always the Welsh ones that are the loudest.
It's always
though,
the Welsh,
think,
isn't it? Yeah.
Isn't
although
right?
I'm sure I can introduce you to some Welsh people who can't sing. But yeah, we do tend to have it.
Tell me about appearing on stage at a working men's club in Wales. You were 9 years old, is that right?
Now, this, Nick, I think this is where the stage fright comes from. So I can clarify that confusion for you earlier. So I'll sort it out. I was nine, and I'd been in one or two television dramas as a child. And so you're kind of a sort of small local celebrity, and I was asked to join an amateur dramatics company, and in order to raise some money for a production we would put on evenings, and I was going to stand up and sing. I remember it now, actually. I was going to sing Edelweiss from
Sound of Music. Yeah.
And I knew all the words. I got up and all I could see was faces looking at me. I was utterly terrified, and I got through it. I think I sounded like a sheep, you know, when your voice warbles so much, and it was literally like a barded out, excuse the Welsh pun. And I think that's where the stage fright came from. And then I got over it, obviously, and I would do stuff. But that was my first foray into standing up and singing.
Well, I might let you off
then. In Porth Working Men's Club, actually.
Wow.
They were very kind to me. I was only nine. They were really sweet. They didn't throw chairs or anything. That came later.
No, that's something. What were these dramas you're in as a kid then?
So I was in The Citadel, which was an adaptation of A.J. Cronin's book. Ben Cross starred in that. And then I was in one of the series of The District Nurse with Nerys Hughes, remember, where she used to ride on a bike down the valley?
Yeah.
So I was a bully. It was a really nasty bully.
Really?
Yeah.
So did that kind of whet your appetite then, Morgan?
Yes. Yeah, that's what got me into it. I had auditioned for The Citadel. I went along, actually, with somebody who needed a young boy to be her son in an extras scene. And obviously I could, what they call hit the mark and walk and talk. And the director liked the look of me and said, actually, we'd like to audition him for a role going further on. And then I went and we filmed over a course of about 6 weeks, I think, in South Wales and up in Huddersfield as well, which can look a bit like the Welsh Valleys.
So were you the most popular boy in school then when you're on TV?
I don't know if it was that. I was possibly, it gave me quite a lot of focus.
Did you sign autographs for all your classmates?
No, kids aren't impressed by that.
Are they not?
No, not at all.
Where did this singing lark start then?
So we had the 9 years of age standing up and sounding like a sheep. We had that. I always sung. I come from a singing family as well. My aunt was an opera singer at the Royal Opera House for 35 years. So I come from a musical background, and I was very inspired. My father's always been very heavily into music, very eclectic taste in music. So I've always had this interest in music. And I suppose I was aware I had a voice, Nick. I didn't really understand, having no formal training, sometimes I didn't have an understanding of my singing voice. And perhaps that's what made me focus more on the acting. I really loved immersing myself in the acting because you learnt the lines, you got a character. Singing, again, it was very much something that, well, I just did. I didn't understand you could do that for a living. It was only later when I came to it and started to really focus on the material so I could sing, and I get a lot of joy from it as well. I think singing is a lovely way to express it. I would love to.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really enjoy singing.
Morgan James is my guest, a screen and theatre actor, turning his hand to singing. The new album is called Here and Now, released in just a couple of weeks' time. You said you had kind of no formal singing training. So when you started to work under Ian Adams, who has worked with Michael Crawford, Sarah Brightman and Michael Ball, that must have been quite a big step up for you.
Yeah, that, again, a lot of things have happened to me have sort of happened by default, really, which is rather lovely when you look back. I was in a production of Richard III with a fantastic actor, Eddie Marsan, and I was playing one of Richard III's henchmen, and the opening act, or the second act, it was a 1960s adaptation, great production, produced by, directed by Guy Ritalik, and we opened it with a version of New York, New York. So the Duke of Clarence, the Duke, all the Dukes were pubs instead of people, you know, it was the 60s, sort of a, like the craze. And I sang this with Eddie, and the producer said, you should really think about doing this for a living, not knowing I'd been singing for years, but in musicals and stuff. And one of the producers knew of Ian Adams, and I didn't know who Ian Adams was, so I got his phone number and kept leaving messages, and he wouldn't return my calls, and I got quite angry with him one day and left a message saying, if you could please return my call, I'd really like some singing lessons. And I think he was quite taken aback by this upstart who was kept pestering him. So I met with him, and we had a lovely working relationship, really lovely. He taught me a lot. I got a lot of technique from him. He taught me a lot about how I could use my voice to my advantage, and really about phrasing and on all the sort of technical things that the audience don't necessarily want to know. But as a performer, they really help you.
Yeah, I'm just writing down actor on stage and screen and a pushy so-and-so
as well. Yeah, well, when I need to. I didn't realise it was pushy. I just thought he was some... Well, he was a singing teacher. I didn't realise how much kudos he had.
No, indeed.
I probably would have been far more deferential if I'd known. I never would have rung him back.
Yeah. Now, there's one more string to your bow I'd like to explore, actually, very briefly. And this is that you are the continuity voice for the TV channel Watch.
I was.
Okay, so you'd be the voice that comes up and says, and now on Watch we have bloody bloody blah, starring bloody bloody blah.
Exactly, just like that.
Right,
often
okay.
My writing was as good as that. I used to write it and announce. So the continuity voice for Watch, which is part of the UK TV network, they quite like to use actors. And Watch changed to W in February, so I left when it changed to W, but I've been with it for 4 years.
Surely that's easier, isn't it?
I know, you'd think,
wouldn't
you?
Rather than one word.
Exactly. But it's gone to a lovely young lady now. So I left after 4 years. It was supposed to be 3 months, but it was again a great job because it's studio. So you're in the studio, you're using your voice. So yeah, I've done that. I'm a bit of a jack of all, to be honest.
well, listen. Hope your new profession is a success.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, thanks for letting us play. From Here and Now, perhaps, love, and thank you, Morgan James, for joining us this afternoon here at BBC Radio Oxford.
This is BBC
Radio Oxford.
Howard Bentham.
Every weekday morning from 7, join me for Oxfordshire's Brightest Breakfast Show. We've got all your latest news, sport and traffic updates, plus the completely unexpected. Did you know that Shakespeare's legacy isn't just heard in school classrooms and theatres across the world? Many of his words and phrases that we use actually are Shakespearean. One that's really surprised me, I suppose, what the Dickens?
Dickens is actually a kind of downtoned oath because it was considered to be bad luck to talk about the devil.
Howard Bentham.
Join us for Oxfordshire's Brightest Breakfast Show tomorrow morning from 7.
And Howard will be joining me, Lily Mitchell, straight after the breakfast show near the Town Hall in Carterton. So come along, say hello and tell us your stories.
BBC Radio Oxford.
Radio for Oxfordshire.